Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Again, it is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. How are you, Todd? How's things?
I'm great. Good. I didn't have to deal with stress of the Roval.
Ooh, stress of the Roval. My gosh. Yeah. I'm telling you, I do the public address, and stress of watching. You know, I'm so fortunate. I work pit road for MRN. Okay, I don't have to be with Alex Aden, Jeff Strigl, you guys in the booth where you have all of the moving points tallies. I'm down on pit road, just how many tires, strategy, everything.
Just blind and ignorant.
Blind and ignorant. Exactly. I do my best work blind and ignorant. That's across the board. That's beyond anything else. Okay. So being up there and watching that, I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, this is giving me a headache. And then it's like, you're an announcer in the booth. Imagine being the crew chief on this thing. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, with the stage cautions coming back.
Yeah.
I almost think that made a little bit of less stress for certain crew chiefs and more for others.
Yeah.
Because most of those guys, you know, I really looked at it, the top seven. Down through Kyle Larson.
Yes.
I felt like they were, 15 points plus to the good? I didn't think they were in a bad spot. They were all pretty good cars, and we're going to have decent pace. But then you see Kyle Larson wreck in practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get those early stage points. How are you going to do that from last?
Yeah, you're not going to. So it did make it a little exciting, and it was fun to listen to all of the feedback from the different crew chiefs of trying to tell our drivers. Martin at one point said, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I'm just going to drive the wheels off this thing, seemed like. But it's just what a great race. And you know, you saw comers and goers. I felt like in the final five, Kyle Busch. He did what Kyle Busch does, right? He gave it everything he could, put on a heck of a racer at the end.
I think that was the fight of the day, was Kyle Busch, what him and Randall Burnett did. And I think, you know, I don't sense that they had a race-winning car speed-wise, but when you have Kyle Busch behind the wheel of that car, boy, you have a scrapper and a fighter, and he just about got it done.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really positive run for those guys, and unfortunate to be out of the playoffs, but I think for the first year together, they've shown a lot, and I think they'll build off of that going forward. The one that I felt, AJ put together a
great
race.
We've got to
give kudos where kudos belong. You know, Matt Swiderski and AJ Allmendinger put together a really good pace, and AJ executed. I mean, he passed cars when he needed to. He made the passes he did. She showed why he is he's really good at road courses.
And down the stretch, he nailed those restarts. And here's the thing, listening to AJ afterward, he knew everyone around him. He knew Ty was going for that first win. Kyle was going for this. William might have been a little bit less.
Yes.
You know, knows it. But boy, AJ nailed every restart at the end of that race.
He had, I think, a couple spots. There was, he didn't get off of eight very well. And at one point,
yep.
But, you know, had the wherewithal to, okay, as we come to the backstretch chicane, I'm staggering left. You want to pass me, you're going to have to roll around the outside of me.
Yeah.
And did that. William couldn't make a move there. And then his drive off was really good. So, he put together, it wasn't two or three laps. It was 30, it seems like.
Yes.
He put together a phenomenal end of the race. And, those guys did. They deserved it.
Right.
They won it.
Absolutely.
The one I want to talk about that I don't think everybody put all together. Chase Elliott got caught by a yellow flag.
Oh, when he had to swerve there.
Because I think Chase Elliott races AJ Allmendinger for the win.
If that doesn't happen.
I do. Now, they later ran something over, had a flat tire, came to pit road, but they were in position. He's coming to pit road within 100 yards of pit road when the caution comes out for Bielicki spinning. And that traps them where they end up winning stage two. Never heard a crew chief so
upset about winning stage two.
But that kind of buried them back, lost some track position. Alan Gustafson and Chase Elliott.
Yep.
They scored the second most points in that stage of anybody.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
The nine car is still in the owner's, points. The 19 got bumped out by the nine. The nine finished second in that stage in points.
Because of those stage points.
Even being not having all the playoff points to start with, their worst finish in the playoffs is 11th.
They've been so strong.
They've
been very, very solid.
Outside of William Byron's first, second, Alan Gustafson and Chase Elliott, I think, have been the second best car in the playoff.
Yeah. They've been really, really good. No doubt about that. We live in a world. I think AJ's reaction post race was so refreshing, because the Lord knows what's going on at Colleg Racing next year.
And I'm glad to see AJ finally can get some emotion out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, AJ can get some emotion. Just listen to the radio 3 minutes into practice when the car is not good. You'll get more emotion. You get all the emotion you want out of AJ then. But winning a cup race is hard.
Yes,
it's hard. The challenge we have in this sport is guys like William Byron and Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson at times make it look easy. It's not easy.
Yes.
It is hard. And I think that was so refreshing because, and again, William and Kyle and Denny and Martin are not the emotional guys that are going to get out. You know it's in there. You know they know what they just accomplished.
Yeah.
Boy, there's times we need to see it. Winning a cup race is hard, and that was
especially for a team that's like Colleg. That's a growing team and not a key partner.
Right.
They're working on less information, and they won this race.
Yes, they did.
Every win, you never apologize for a win.
Right.
I've said that because for every win that you feel like you may not have been the best car, but you won it, there's three opportunities that you could talk about, well, I should have won this one.
Yeah,
I've lived that. So, but you go back and they won this race.
Yep.
They put themselves in position. They actually executed. They outraced.
Yep.
They passed cars to get there. They passed Kyle Busch. This wasn't one where guys wrecked out and they backed into it.
No, they went out
this
and took
this
race.
This is one that AJ should be extremely proud about. I won the Rover.
And we took it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Key partners, big teams, Fords, Toyotas, Chevys. We took it to everybody and we brought the trophy back.
Yes.
That was great stuff. I want to talk about the four drivers. We'll talk about the playoffs coming up later on. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hassler today, one of the crew chiefs, Ryan Blaney's crew chiefs. Ross Chastain, Phil Surgeon. Boy, we spent the first two-thirds of last year talking about the speed they had and everything, and they've been good, but I think that they've fallen out of this thing at about the appropriate time, unfortunately. Their performance just hasn't been great, and that's where we're at now with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And unfortunate for them, their really rookie season was so good.
Right, exactly.
If we eliminate the 2021 or 2022 season...
Oh, gosh.
We're talking about how great Trackhouse has done.
Good point.
It's just that the first year they hit on this car, and we knew that this car was going to bring that opportunity. They've got a little bit of work to do. They've got some figuring out to do to get the pace back they had, to catch up to where everybody else has kind of leapfrogged them. They haven't lost.
Right.
They just haven't gained what some of the others
have.
Some
of their teams have gained on them.
They've got a little work to do there, but, you know, still, you made it to the round of 12. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, they're a victim of a Talladega wreck that they couldn't control.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, he doesn't
have
that.
They scored 1 point at Talladega.
Yeah.
That's what eliminated them. It wasn't Texas, and it wasn't here. It was 1 point at Talladega. And they were trying to be smart about it. The stage end was coming, so okay, I'm going to go grab some stage points, and then Ricky Stenhouse runs out of gas, and Kyle Busch is trying to get around him. And that ended their day. So, unfortunate for those guys.
Right. We've talked about this, Bubba Wallace and Booty Barker, the last 3 months, I think, and Bubba was, I think Bubba, his response to getting eliminated from the playoffs was so appropriate. Disappointed that they got eliminated from the playoffs, but looking at the big picture, I don't know that I saw Bubba Wallace and Booty Barker doing what they've done over the last two or three months, because they've been playoff racing. They've been playoff racing since July. They really grounded out to this point.
The piece that cost Bubba Wallace is what the first two-thirds of the regular season were like.
Yeah.
No bonus point. Yeah. And the run that they've been on from about the two-thirds point of the regular season, they've put together, they've been a playoff contender. They have put together races. They've executed. They've not fallen out. They've taken advantage of it. Bubba hopped out and talked about wanting, you know, I gave it up at Texas. You didn't give it up at Texas.
No. You
didn't win Texas. You're right. You had the best car. You had stack up of late restarts and
yeah, late restarts.
You have to be there multiple times to understand it. I am sure that he learned things he would do different about those restarts, and that's part of the progression. But understanding that, realizing it, but they.
You're sitting there, you're Booty Barker, you're Denny Hamlin, you're Michael Jordan. You have got to be figuring, man, we are building something special. Yeah. We really are.
Yeah, they're coming into their own.
Really, truly are. Brad Keselowski, Matt McCall, you know, just they when it comes to Saturday, there was too many mistakes. You know, I mean, but
missed the chicane in front of stretch and had to do a pass through.
Right, exactly. But again, I when you look at where RFK was, one is eliminated in round of 12, one is still going into round of 8.
Yeah, that's a far cry from where they were when Brad walked in the doors.
My gosh, you're right about that.
And really, you look at it. I think Brad probably wishes he could go back to Talladega and maybe not push on that 42 car.
Well, there's that. Yeah. But, you know, what occurred to
show you. You can't. Yeah. But they've come, much like we talk about Trackhouse, they've come leaps and bounds.
They really have.
And they're continuing their path. It'll be interesting to see where this team runs into next year.
Finally, the last driver out, the rookie combination, Kyle Busch and Randall Burnett. I know there's disappointment in it, but boy, they put together for their first year together, and Kyle in a totally new situation, getting a couple wins early in the year. I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic for this duo as well.
Yeah, because they've had speed. They've got three wins, three different types of racetracks.
Three different types of racetracks. That's right, three wins, with Gateway.
And you look at it, and you know, I listened to Randall on his morning or on his interview with Chocolate in that group. He just talked about execution. And those are things that you can work on.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the executions are things that they're very tangible. Those are things that you can do. Finding speed, that becomes a lot more difficult. But I look forward to how this program, the whole RCR program, grows following their
this
lead.
This to me, because this is bigger than Kyle and Randall. This is RCR. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where RCR was a year and a half ago, but I feel like I know now that they've got some really good direction and good leadership to move into that next tier.
And Kyle isn't just a driver.
No, he's so much more than that.
He will push that program in a lot of different ways that we don't ever see.
I'll never forget. It was like Phoenix or Auto Club. It was like second or third race of the season. I walk in the pits and I said to Randall, I said, so how you liking your new driver? He says, now I know why we lost to him so much. That guy is into every facet of this team, and he makes every facet of this team better. Mm-hmm. Randall was just like, man, we've got something here. So fun stuff. That is really, really cool. And a great, great season. Round of 12 is wrapped up with that race at the Roval. The round of 8 goes on. We go to Las Vegas. One of the drivers and teams that will move on is Ryan Blaney up at Team Penske. And when we come back, Jonathan Hassler, his crew chief, joins us here on Crew Call.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Let's go right to it via Zoom call from up at Team Penske Shops in Mooresville, North Carolina. Jonathan Hassler, crew chief for Ryan Blaney and the number 12 Ford Mustangs. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Doing great this morning. How are you guys doing?
We are well. We are well. It wasn't a nervous Roval for you locking yourself into the round of 8, but just kind of describe the last round and that win at Talladega and just where you guys are at performance wise as we start to look at that round of 8.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I think we knew coming into the season that the speedways were going to be certainly our biggest opportunity to go out and get wins with the way everything kind of shook out with the, you know, changes between all the manufacturers and whatnot. And you know, we were good last year on the speedways, and then had a little more speed this year. So we knew, you know, going into Talladega, all we really needed to do was execute. We didn't need to do anything special, and we were obviously able to do that. And it took a lot of pressure off for sure for the Roval. You know, our road course program has been kind of up and down. I feel like we've definitely, you know, started to turn the corner, but certainly was nice to not have to kind of rely on that. So we were able to kind of go and maybe try a couple different things at the Roval that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And then just kind of, you know, try to call the race to go and get, you know, stage points or stage wins, I guess I should say, if possible. And you know, try to run a little different strategy. We did, and it kind of bit us there, but we were certainly in a position to do that. So, glad we're moving on to the next round.
So, you know, winning at Talladega, what everybody talks about it, but what does that afford you in the ability to be to better prepare yourself going to Vegas? What does that extra week look like? What does it allow you to get forward on?
Yeah, anytime you can, you know, win the first or second race in a round, it allows you to, you know, not spend a lot of time obviously on the remaining races. And Vegas, especially with it being a West Coast race, you lose a day of prep with the car that you don't normally have. So we were able to kind of finish up our Roval car really on pretty early on Wednesday, I would say, last week, and then really just focus start making decisions on what we want to do for Vegas. So it definitely just buys you a couple of extra days of prep. And certainly, like I said, for a West Coast race, it's even more time with the car.
I'm curious where you're at on your intermediate program. Okay. I've got mixed results here. Okay. You're 13th to Vegas in the spring, 9th at Darlington. You won the Coca-Cola 600. And we've talked about the aero changes, the Ford package and the Ford program. What's your thoughts? Where do you feel like you guys are now? We have Vegas and we have Homestead both coming up, the first two races of this round.
Yeah. You kind of hit the nail on the head. We've definitely been up and down with our intermediate program. You know, I think last year we were able to show up with, for lack of a better term, I guess, just, you know, fairly generic setups and have good speed. And I think this year with not quite the raw speed, you have to maybe branch out a little bit and do things that are a little bit more unique from track to track to try to make speed. So we've kind of been experimenting, you know, through the year with what we need to do that. You know, we've had to be more aggressive on the smoother tracks to try to make speed. We've been really good, I would say, at the rougher tracks this year. Obviously been able to win Charlotte. I think, you know, Charlotte and Vegas definitely share a lot of similarities. So we're hopeful that we can kind of build off of that and have good speed this weekend.
Yeah, it was going to be my question is the Coke 600. I feel like Charlotte's probably the roughest racetrack we go to as a series, and Vegas is a close second. Do you still feel like the Charlotte stuff, even though it's back in May, it has some influence on where you are? And talk about the challenges that Vegas brings, because different lanes have different bumps, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously, I think, you know, some of what we did at Charlotte, you know, still applies. But like you said, it's definitely been a few months. You know, all the teams have been learning. But if you really look back, we haven't been to a lot of other mile and a halves since then. It's only been Kansas and Texas. So, you know, really only have two races of additional information to kind of build off of. So we'll definitely take that information. Like you said, the lanes at Vegas are the bumps are different for sure. I think that was a strength that we've had in our cars the last couple of times there is we were able to get through the bottom in turn one and two really well. It's definitely rougher on that end. And I think that allows you to qualify well, make good speed on the, you know, first few laps of a run and you know, be able to pass pretty well. So we'll focus on trying to carry that over.
And I want to go back. You talked a little bit about the smoother tracks and being more aggressive. Texas qualified, I don't know, 24th, 5th, 6th, someplace back there. You made, I thought calls of the race. You put yourself, gutsy calls, got yourself track position, a stay out call, a two tire call, not waiting on fuel, got yourself up in the top seven and you guys kind of hung there. Are there strategy calls like that that come available in this round, or the bumpiness and the tire degradation we see at Homestead, do they kind of become more straightforward?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more straightforward at Vegas. I think in general, kind of what we've seen with this car over the last couple of years is that like any racetrack that you go to that has a couple of lanes, I think the car races really well. You're able to run side by side pretty well, but you know, really hard to pass at a lot of the one groove tracks. And I think a lot of the race at Texas, you know, without them kind of treating the track, a lot of it was kind of, you know, one lane racing. So we were able to be, like you said, pretty aggressive with the strategy, knowing that it was going to be hard to pass. By the end of the race at Texas, it kind of widened out and there were two grooves. I think that really kind of came to us as I think Ryan kind of works the higher lane at Texas as good as anyone. But yeah, I think Vegas will be a little bit different. It's a little bit easier to pass there.
When we look at these rounds of this playoffs, and Todd's always described round one as the base hit round. Round two with the Roval and Talladega is kind of crazy, kind of chaos. Try to get what you can get, you know, do that. This is far more traditional. Two intermediates and a short track of Martinsville. What do you need to do to execute? Obviously, a win at any of these races moves you on. But despite that, where do you need to be? Do you have benchmarks that you need to do over this round to get yourself into the next round if you have to go in on points?
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time, you know, studying the numbers, to be honest. We're just going to go out and try to race the best we can, you know, each of these 3 weeks. I do think, you know, it's certainly possible that with just three pretty good races, I think, you know, three top tens, you're probably okay with decent stage points. I think if you can get a couple top fives and a top 10, I think you'll be in really good shape. So certainly don't have to go and win. And, you know, they're tracks that are, they've been good for us in the past for sure at times. So, I definitely don't think it's a monumental task for us to get in on points.
Yeah. And you talk about it and you bring that. And as you look at those numbers, you kind of alluded, but I want to build off of it. It's not just the finishing positions. It's what you gain for total points, right? The stages bring so much to it that you can't just hammer out three top tens and be absent through the stages. If you can nail yourself some decent stage points, which you've done at different places pretty well, that can really kind of buffer you forward, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're you know, looking at each and every opportunity that points are on the table. We'll be trying to get them.
Yeah, no doubt. You're sitting up there. We see you're at Team Penske, at your race shop up there. Last year, we went to Las Vegas, and Paul Wolf did it, got the win out there at Las Vegas. How does this work now, though, with you being the sole survivor up at Team Penske? How does it work for you guys among the teams being the lone playoff driver up there?
Yeah, it's... you know, everybody kind of jumps in, I would say, across the teams. Everybody is kind of looking out for our needs and things that, you know, we're interested in. I think they'll run, you know, they'll run setups that are certainly very similar and try things that, you know, we might be able to apply, you know, to our car throughout the weekend. It's really hard in this format anymore with only, you know, 20 minutes of practice. Yeah. You only get a couple changes in. So if you can get a couple more changes in from your teammates and try to get some additional information, it's incredibly helpful. So, and they all kind of realize the situation. And like I said, everybody's kind of all hands on deck to help us out.
So, and you talk about that's interesting. And really that 20 minute practice does limit how many things you can change from the setup you've got to start with. How is the collaboration between you guys and all the prep work getting up to it? I know you say you unload pretty similar, but are they giving stuff? Is it kind of all together, or are they just following you guys' lead?
I think we're all, it's probably a mixture, honestly. I mean, we've had things that have worked for us that haven't necessarily, you know, worked for Joey. And I talk about Joey the most. He's certainly the strongest teammate we have, and you know, we're gonna lean on him as much as anyone else. But yeah, it's kind of a mixture for sure. They're definitely you know, open, and nobody's hiding their opinions and thoughts on you know, what we all think we need to go and be better. Just kind of pool all that information together and put our best foot forward.
Fascinating stuff. It really, truly is. The round of eight is upon us, and it starts off this week at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Final question for you here, Jonathan, as we look at things. I want to go. I know you're focused on this year and this season, but since the last time we've talked to a crew chief on this program, the 2024 schedule come out, okay? And right smack dab in the middle of it is the Olympic break. What is that like for a team? You guys are all wore out. Everyone's tired. You had one whole weekend off this year. When you see that on the schedule, what's the anticipation like? What does that mean for a race team and a race shop?
Yeah, just, you know, for anybody that's in the sport, you know, we're used to the grind for sure. So yeah, to have the opportunity to have, you know, two consecutive weekends off certainly allows anybody in the series to go and do something in the middle of summer that really hadn't been able to do for, you know, for some people, you know, 10, 15 years. Obviously there was, we've had that scenario once before, with the Olympics, but, yeah, it's certainly, you know, allows people to plan trips and getaways that, they haven't been able to do. So I know I'm looking forward to it, and everybody else is as well.
It's a long way down the road, I know, but boy, when we found the dates of the schedule, all of a sudden my mind starts wandering as to what's going to happen. Where are we going? You know, so fun stuff. Jonathan, we appreciate your time joining us here today. We wish you well this week at Las Vegas and on throughout the rounds. We'll see what happens, but thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Jonathan Hassler, crew chief for Ryan Blaney up at Team Penske. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post here. Great to catch up with Jonathan Hassler, and it is going to be interesting to see what happens. Yeah, as topsy-turvy as the round of 12 was with Talladega and the Roval in it, we go very traditional NASCAR racing with this round, Todd. Kind of what's your sense? What do the teams need to do now? Winning, of course, but what's everyone need to start doing here as we start to whittle this thing down?
Win at Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Win at Las Vegas.
I think Paul Wolf and Joey Logano showed that there's a benefit to winning Las Vegas last year.
I actually want to go back because AJ Allmendinger this past week.
Yep.
He talked about this with Matt Swiderski. They, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just zoned in on the Roval.
I was listening to Swiderski on the morning drive on Sirius on Tuesday. And he said for the last month,
they dedicated
an hour a week of the simulator time to developing the Roval program.
See, exactly. So
because they knew this was where they could come.
Their best chance.
And so they focused on that. But winning Vegas.
So for one of those eight teams gives you.
You don't need to worry about. You can actually. And Jonathan talked a little bit about it. But if Jonathan and Ryan were able to go win Vegas, you can tell Paul Wolf, you do the prep work for my Homestead car and my Martinsville car.
Right.
Whatever you do, I'm just going to copy and paste, put it in. We're gonna get to see how Ryan and Joey are, you know, in the same stuff. We're gonna do that. I'm gonna focus forward on Phoenix.
Right. The other thing, and then we talk about these next two races. You're not in the nightmare of stage points.
Nope.
The nightmare of race calls. You're loose. You very well could go win another one of these races because you're just loose. You're just out there. It's like, well, let's just try to get a trophy.
Well, and Ryan had a good run at Phoenix in the spring.
Yeah,
Ryan was the. best car at Phoenix last year. I mean, if he's a playoff contender, he wins the race.
Right.
Ryan was better than Joey.
Right.
But
yes, absolutely.
Raced with etiquette and was smart about how he did it, but was really good there. The caveat, especially for the playoffs here, and this doesn't just go for the 12 team. This goes for everybody. We go to Phoenix with a different aero package than we've had in the spring race there. In the spring race, we didn't have the low downforce package. Well, that didn't come out until we went to COTA. So you're having extra time to prepare is going to let you kind of go down the path because it's a different package going to Phoenix. It's not just building off of what your package was in the spring race. It's okay, let's take some of the spring race, but what has all of this aero changes done to that? And what can we do to accommodate that? Having that extra time, the guy that wins this weekend is in an even bigger advantage than they were last
year. Yeah, because of the new rules package out of Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of those things that I don't think everybody totally gets or thinks about. Yeah, I've talked to crew chiefs that didn't even put all that together.
Yeah.
Because they're so focused on the here and now.
Right.
They haven't gotten they haven't had the broadcaster's view that they can stand back.
Well, absolutely. Their Rolaids and Tums are all about what's going on at Vegas and what was going on at the Roval and what was going on at Talladega.
Yes. Yeah. They're not out that far yet.
No.
But I look at it, you know, from the 30,000 foot level.
If one of those eight teams wins, they're going to be out that far.
They will. And they get an advantage because the guy that has to win at Martinsville to get through now has... As Hassler alluded to here, with Vegas, you've got to ship, the cars have to leave earlier. You lose a day of prep time.
Right.
Because you've got transporters running across the country.
Yep, absolutely.
Phoenix is the same way. So you come back from Martinsville, you've got a short week going to Phoenix. So if you have to wait until after Martinsville to really focus on Phoenix, you have to focus on it in a day shorter week.
Right.
It's
huge.
Getting that win at Vegas is big. Homestead's pretty big. Martinsville, it gets you through, prep time's not what that guy that won the first one. So it'll be interesting to see how this weekend plays out. It'll be interesting to see how Jonathan and Ryan do. I was Ryan's crew chief for a couple of years. I've got a lot of time at Team Penske. Hassler is phenomenally intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, great calls at Texas to put himself in position. They, you know, had a penalty and lost that back, but it'll be interesting to see how they play out. Ryan's really good out there at Vegas. I cost him a win out there. I pitted him from the lead. Joey stayed out and won a race.
When the leader does something, everyone else does the opposite.
I was worried about Alex Bowman. So us and Alex Bowman came down pit road. Joey just said, thank you.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Joey Logano taking advantage of an opportunity and winning another race.
Yeah. But Ryan's really good there. You know, as Jonathan alluded to, those places that you run up the racetrack, he's pretty good. Be interesting to see what Jonathan and Ryan do.
It's a fascinating round, fascinating eight drivers with William Byron and Rudy Fugle, Martin Truex Jr., James Small, Denny and Chris, Cliff Daniel and Kyle Larson, Chris Buescher. Man, I love this story. Yeah. I love you. They keep slugging it out.
You could pick anybody out of the eight, and I can. I mean, it's easy for me. And Sirius asked us to do it before the playoffs laid out, and my championship four are pretty generic.
Yeah,
I actually picked Martin to win a championship, and I don't think that's out of grasp. I know that he's had a really soft playoff to this point, but look for them to come back to a couple mile and a half to see where they get back to. But Martin, Denny, William, and Kyle.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty straightforward. But I could make an argument for Chris Buescher with the run that he had coming into playoffs. It's been a little subdued now, but with Brad out, the whole RFK focus going to be on the 17, much like Jonathan Hassler here and Ryan, the whole Team Penske program is behind them. So, and we talked to Adam Stevens last week. He talked about that.
Right.
Having multiples in doesn't allow you to build the best bullet because you have to share.
Right.
So, I don't know. Christopher Bell, walk-off win at Martinsville last year.
Yeah, Christopher, if I at the beginning of these playoffs, beginning of this year, and probably even the beginning of the playoffs, I think Christopher Bell is maybe who I have to win the championship.
At the beginning of the year, I had Christopher Bell as my championship winner.
And
by the way, we haven't talked about Tyler Reddick, who's just been on fire. And going to Homestead?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
If you go to Homestead and the last digit on your car isn't five, and it might not have one in front of it or it might have a four in front of it.
Right, exactly.
Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick. I mean, those two guys up against the wall are going to be phenomenal.
Absolutely. So going to be fascinating. It really, truly is. The round of eight kicks off this weekend at Las Vegas. Saturday, the Xfinity Series is there for the Elsco Uniforms 302, and Sunday, it's the South Point Casino 400. Performance Racing Network has all of the coverage. We have a lot going on here at MRN. NASCAR Live, our Tuesday night tradition, NASCAR Live Wide Open, NASCAR Coast to Coast, Wing Nation, and, of course, Crew Call, and we appreciate you checking out all of our content and coverage here on the Motor Racing Network. We appreciate Jonathan Hassler joining us here on the program. For Todd Gordon, I'm Steve Post. More important, though, than all of that, thank you for joining us here this time on MRN's Crew Call.